Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks and Nihei Debiru. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, don't forget to like the show on Facebook. With Thanksgiving last week, there wasn't a lot of time for martial arts, as I went home to Peoria to spend the holiday with my family. Before Thanksgiving, I sat down with my grandma, Barbara Craig, and flipped on the recorder. She talked about learning to cook, her childhood in Algona, Iowa, and learning to ride a horse. In the second half of the show, she shared her passion for motorcycles and surviving a horrific accident in 2001. And at the end of the show, she talked about the beginning of her military service as a member of the Navy Waves during the Korean War.
All right, we're going to record the Thanksgiving edition of Chop Talk.
Okay. I don't know anything about karate.
That's okay.
Except to
it can only be vaguely martial arts related, and also I'm not really doing much karate this weekend, but I still have to put out a show on Sunday.
Oh God! So what are we going to do?
Well, I don't know. So I got up and I was going to help you with Thanksgiving dinner, but you were already done by the time I woke up.
Well, I was done with it by 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I wasn't anywhere near waking up by o'clock.
No, Maui was ready to wake up and worry about where you were and where we could go outside again. Mm-hmm. So
you got a couple of the usual stuff you're making. You made the macaroni and cheese, right?
Yeah,
the
beans yesterday.
The original macaroni and cheese and the beans. Did you learn that from your mom, or where did those come from?
My mother. Okay. My mother. She learned it, apparently, from my dad's mother.
Okay.
Basically, she learned to cook from dad's mother.
Not her own mother?
No, her mother was busy working, and she cooked Irish, and dad was German, and they cooked German.
Okay.
Which is where the beans come from. Bavaria.
And the macaroni and cheese, too, macaroni, right? Didn't that originally come from...
That comes from Grandma Bowman.
Mm-hmm. But Bavaria, right?
From Bavaria. She was from Bavaria, and she cooked in that type of German food.
Okay.
And they'd done a lot in macaroni and cheese, baked stuff.
But you didn't make your favorite dressing this year.
No, I didn't. No, I got that. That comes from them too.
Eating turkey innards.
Turkey and giblet stuffing. I will make it Christmas.
Okay. I still won't eat it.
All right.
It's gross. I was telling you that it's not the idea of eating guts. I literally don't like guts. I've had it before. Like I was at a Brazilian barbecue place, and they walk by and they all take a piece of that, and they just cut it off, put it on your table. So I'll take a piece of that, and they cut off these chunks of meat. It was on my plate. I took a bite of this thing, and I just spat. I'm like, there's something wrong with that meat. And this one goes, that's not meat. That's a chicken heart. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't like chicken heart. All right.
You don't. Okay.
And I've had the same thing with liver and a few others.
And gizzards.
Yeah, different guts too.
You're so that way with gizzards.
It's not only disgusting concept. It's also taste disgusting.
Well, that is, there has to be the concept that it comes out of the stomach of a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
For the gizzard, because by the time I get done with it, it isn't anything that is gross in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delicious.
All right. I'll take your word for
you
it.
Will. Okay.
So,
well, so far nobody eats it but me, so I didn't make that.
Okay.
The whole shebang comes down Christmas.
Because we're missing a few people on
that. Yeah, we're missing a few.
How about the pie crust with the cinnamon crisp pie crust? Where'd you get that from?
My mother.
Okay. Is that German also?
I don't know where that come from. I think it was she just had to do something with that extra crust rather than, so she fixed it, and that was a treat that we got to eat. Keep us out of the pie, I suppose.
Mm.
So, anyway, I did make that.
Mm.
And Vicki didn't fix pie last weekend because she knew we were going to have pie this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we had everything last weekend for Maggie.
Okay.
Now, this weekend, it's for you.
Okay. Is one of the other grandkids coming into town next weekend?
Nobody else is coming.
We can just do it every weekend till
Christmas. Every weekend till Christmas.
Right.
That's what we're going to wind up doing, I think, because nobody gets here at the same time anymore. Mm. And like Christmas, Maggie doesn't come home at all at Christmas.
Mm.
Are you coming home Christmas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In fact, we're gonna have an international visitor on Christmas.
Oh, who?
A friend of mine from Okinawa is coming to the U.S. and she's coming over basically over Christmas and New Year's, that chunk of time. So we got to host them.
Okay. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
I got plenty of room.
Yeah, good. And she'll probably love the gizzards, too, because they eat all kinds of nasty stuff.
Maybe
over there.
She'll like the dressing, too.
So you're originally from Iowa, right?
That's right.
Where you learned how to make all the good.
All that stuff, yeah. I learned to make it all from my mother. I'm trying to learn my children and grandchildren how to do it.
Right. I'm making progress. I can make the macaroni and cheese and the beans.
Yeah. Right. How are you doing with the beans?
Excellent.
Good.
Excellent.
Okay, got
excellent.
It. The soup come from my mother, too. Basically, I learned to cook from my mother.
Okay. And I'm learning to cook from you, so.
I started cooking probably when I was, very young. Got into the kitchen and figured it out. So.
And you're from Algona, Iowa, the thriving metropolis.
Right.
One of the largest cities in the Midwest. Right?
It was a county seat.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was the largest city in the county and the largest county in Iowa.
Okay.
Kossuth County is. So it was a thriving metropolis.
Right. So what was it like when you were growing up there?
I thought there was nothing better.
Yeah.
It was cold. We worry about cold here.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold up there. I don't think it is as much anymore as it was when I was growing up.
Mm.
We didn't have global warming. We just froze to death all winter.
And you had to walk to school uphill in the snow?
Uphill?
Both ways?
Have you ever been down to my house? Yes, you were there.
Yes, of course.
Okay, it's up them hills.
Mm-hmm.
We never got a ride. You had to walk to them school buildings, which were on the other end of town.
Okay.
Whether it was 3 inches of snow on the ground or 3 foot, you had to get up that hill.
Well, they probably plowed the streets and the sidewalks, so that was all right.
Not our road, they didn't.
No?
It wasn't a paved road for a good many years, so they didn't plow it. You just done the best you could at getting up.
Did you ever give up halfway through and just go home?
No.
Screw it, I'm out of here. No. I'm not going to school today.
You wouldn't have dared do that. Mother would just send you back out to go up. In fact, we got to school one day, and there were a whole lot of teachers missing, and not too many children there. So we just had a fun day at school and
had some snowball
fights
with
the kids that did get there. What? She wants in on her group.
Well, come here, Maui.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATAC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATAC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATAC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com.
Well, you couldn't ride your horse to school?
No. We didn't even have bikes to ride. Walk.
This was the Old West.
Walk. I wish I could do that again now. Just go out and walk up that hill. Mm. I wouldn't make it to the top.
But didn't you tell me a story once where you did try to ride somebody's horse when you weren't supposed to?
Oh, that was Bud. Oh, Betty's boyfriend.
Who's Betty?
Betty was my friend who lived across the street.
Okay.
And her boyfriend and his buddy would come in with the horses from Bud's place. And then we'd go ride with them. Well, this day I was supposed to be painting the screens. They were all on out there in the yard, and I was supposed to be painting. So I couldn't go riding. And I said, well, just ride up to the top of the hill and back. And I said, normally I sat in the saddle, and Bud would sit behind me. This day I just got up behind him, and we were just going to go up to the top of the hill and back down again. Well, he took off in a full gallop, and I started sliding sideways, and I went right off the side of the horse and kept going right up against the hill. Just scraped my arm and my leg where I had shorts on. Just scraped the heck out of it. And I sprained my wrist. I got up and brushed off the dirt in it because it was a dirt road.
Mm-hmm.
I brushed everything off of me and beat it back down to my house and got my paintbrush.
Before anybody noticed you were gone?
I didn't explain to my dad that I was on that horse when I was supposed to had a job to do, and I was supposed to do it. And he had already figured out what was going on, and he made me get back on that horse.
Okay.
And he said, because if you don't get back on it and ride now, you never will ride again. So I had to get back on that horse and go back up the hill. scared to death, but it was good because I rode after that. You know,
right.
It didn't scare me to ride.
And otherwise, you would have been scared of
riding
horses.
Right, I probably would have figured, I'm not going to ride the horse. You just fall off and tear up everything.
Well, I remember you had a really horrible motorcycle accident about 10 or 15 years ago. Really?
Yeah.
10 years ago, and
2001.
Okay, so you were down in Louisiana.
We were headed for Texas.
Okay.
And we had just crossed out of Alabama and into Louisiana, and headed for the campground. Pete turned at a road, and I hadn't seen a sign that said campground anywhere. And he turned on that road, and he was good at turning on roads, and then we'd get down on these dirt roads and have to turn around. And I didn't feel comfortable turning around on a dirt road because for fear the bike would go over and break my leg or something.
Right.
So I didn't follow him right away. I pulled off the side of the road. Well, somewhere along the way, I decided that I would go, apparently, I don't remember. And the next thing I know, I am in this dark place. These people are all moving around in the shadows over there. People are talking around me, and I can't able to talk back.
Okay.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever do it again.
Where were you?
We were in Louisiana.
In the hospital. No,
I was
in the
hospital.
Hospital.
Yeah. Okay. When I finally dawned on me that I was where I was, and they were talking, people would be talking to me. I remember my kids told me they had to go home. They had to leave. And I thought, where are they going? And why can't I go too? You know? Mm-hmm. I'm like total out of it as far as what was going on around me. Because I hadn't figured it out yet until this male nurse screamed.
Because you were in a coma.
I'm
sort of.
Well, yeah. Whatever they call an induced coma. They wanted me to stay in it, stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But I could hear everything that was going on.
Okay.
I just couldn't communicate with anybody.
You were aware, you just couldn't.
I was aware of what was going on, but not how I got there and where I was. You know?
Right.
So, it's like weird. But I could hear everybody.
Mm.
I could see. Over in this area, there was a light or room-like thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people are moving around. They're doing whatever. And I'm like, still can't figure out what am I there. Until eventually, I apparently pulled the tube out.
What tube?
A breathing tube.
Okay.
Okay. And I heard this male nurse yell, this man yell at me, "All right, lady, if you want to die, we'll let you." And I thought, until then, I was content just to lay there and wherever I was. Just do it. Don't worry about where I was or what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, God. that done it. I made up my mind I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of dying.
All right.
And then things kind of turned around. It got clearer and clearer.
Mm-hmm.
The kids came in and said they had to go home. That they would be back later, maybe. I'm like, they're going to leave me wherever I'm at, all by myself, with this kook that's going to let me die.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then Grandpa would come in, and then he would talk to me, and then he would leave.
Because they're kicking him out of the hospital. For visiting hours, right?
Yeah. They were only limited so long in. Mm. But the kids were going home. Mm. They were coming back up here. Mm. They had to get back to work.
And you had, what, broken leg, your head, concussions?
My head was cracked open in the back.
Your chin was cracked wide open.
My leg was a mess. My lungs were both collapsed. I have multiple ribs broken. What else?
That was enough. And you were in basically in a coma for a couple weeks.
About a week.
Okay.
About a week. Then when I started coming around and knew what was going on, and then I could understand what I had done, and my motorcycle was totaled. Mm.
So that was it for you and motorcycles then. You never rode again, right?
No.
What?
Oh, that was what I said. I was not going to ride a motorcycle again.
Uh-huh.
However, it didn't work that way. It was in 2001, and in 2003, we bought our new, for our wedding anniversary in 2004, we bought new motorcycles to match.
Okay.
And headed out again.
Did that have something to do with...
Something about not be learning from past experiences.
Or your dad making you get back on that
probably.
That horse?
Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show.
That was what Grandpa did when he made me go to that thing over downtown.
What's that?
Motorcycle rally. He wouldn't go in the car.
Hmm.
I had to get on his motorcycle with him and go.
Well, he couldn't be seen driving a car to a motorcycle rally.
No,
the Hell's Angels.
That would be a no-no, and there wouldn't be any place to park. And I would have to walk further than I would if I was on the motorcycle. So he had all kinds of reasons why. But I had a tough time getting back on that motorcycle with him.
I'll bet.
And I should never have done it. And then I wouldn't have gone and got another one.
Another motorcycle?
I probably wouldn't have. And then we had to hide the motorcycles so your mother wouldn't see them.
Those things aren't easy to hide, though. I don't think it took her very long to figure out that you had them.
Well, no, she wanted to know where I wanted to go for Mother's Day. They'd been here since February. In the basement.
She was living here.
Huh?
But she was, she was living up there. Okay.
She was, no. And then she, I says, well, before I tell you where I'd like to go for Mother's Day, maybe I better ask you what color Harley you want. And Grandpa asked her, he says, "What? We can get one low enough that you can reach the ground.
Okay.
What color do you want?" And because she had said, if you guys decide to go back to motorcycling, then you better plan on buying me one. because I'm going with you. I'm not going to sit here and worry about you.
Well, because you guys, you guys had ridden all over the country. You've been literally all over the U.S. You've been to Alaska twice. You rode your motorcycle to Alaska and back, which took a month. The whole trip was
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah. We did it in 3 weeks.
And you did that twice.
Yeah.
So you've been...
The first time I rode with Grandpa. Second time I rode my own.
So you're not... You weren't just tooling around town. You were...
No, we were out there.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was an amateur. There was no excuse for me to pull that mess down in Louisiana. I had been in some of the towns, some town cities that are bigger than, like Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
Reno, all of, anyway, I had been in some of the weirdest towns, and then to get hit in a isolated place down in Louisiana with the alligators.
Do you remember the helicopter ride?
I don't remember the helicopter ride.
Shit. Well, you have to get hit again so you can...
No. I will take that back. I think I do because every time I hear a helicopter, I can hear it long before I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I break out in goose pimples everywhere.
Okay, so some part
I could just go like this, you know. So somewhere in my head, I do remember it. And I remember something that was loud, so loud. And I don't know whether that's when the truck hit me or if it was the helicopter making that noise. Mm. I didn't... Everybody had to give me a blow-to-blow description of this mess after I found out it was my fault.
Oh, wow.
Then I had goofed. Anyway, I'm here to tell about it.
Good.
It
was touch and go for a while, but I'm glad you made it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I intended to make it when that guy... Okay, lady... And then when another trip around, he told, he was going to let me die the day we had the light, the electricity. They went around the corner and I had a portable, going to X-ray.
Yeah.
I had a portable in a breathing thing.
Okay.
And it caught on the side corner of the thing and it popped. It blew up. Rubber, this plastic would get wet everywhere. The guy that was with the foot specialist, the bone specialist, said we should go back to my room and hook back up to the inhaler there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, we're going if she makes it okay. If she doesn't anyway, they're just some damn people from up north that are down here riding motorcycles and bragging about owning Harleys. And then he proceeded to tell me what an ass Grandpa was, this other guy.
Jesus Christ.
Oh. And then he said that the nurse says, she doesn't know what's going on, right? Because if she tells somebody this, I won't get to graduate tonight. Because there was the nurse and these two, this male nurse, and the kid that worked with the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, when I got back to my room, I'm laying there thinking, there ain't no way in hell I'm not going to make it out of this. I got back, I tried to tell. All they got out of me, figured out, was I could told them I had been to hell and back. They wanted to know how I was, and I says, I've just been to hell and back. And I couldn't say the words. Mm-hmm. So I tried to, I finally took your mother's hand and I was spelling.
Oh, wow.
Spelling these words in her hand with my hand. Donnie, he said that right away, he has a big mouth. He's going to start telling everybody that, jumping to conclusions, you know. Wanting to know what went on. Well, they're not going to tell you what went on.
Oh, hell no.
I'm like, okay, Donnie, just shut up.
Yeah, he does have a big mouth.
So then I was trying to tell your mother. And it wasn't until I could talk that I knew, was completely conscious that I could tell anybody about it. And I wanted to go back. They wouldn't let me go back down to there because I wanted to go down as a well person, mm-hmm, and confront that nurse. He was an ass. And he shouldn't be working in a hospital. However, I imagine he is, and he's probably still giving people hell.
Yeah.
Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA. PubPalUSA.
Well, how did you wind up, how'd you ever get out of Algona?
Out of what?
Algona.
When I joined the Navy.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, why would you want
to
leave
the
county seat?
The county seat.
The thriving metropolis of Algona, Iowa.
Algona, Iowa. County seat of Kossuth County. I had all my papers signed and everything. I just had to go down to Des Moines and take, be sworn in, which...
Well, why'd you leave?
Why'd I leave? You don't want me to tell you that.
Yes.
Well, mainly because there was nothing for you to do in this rural community. I didn't want to wind up married to a farmer.
Okay.
And if you didn't have, or some of the other weirdos we had in town.
You could have got married to the manager of the general store or something like that, or the sheriff.
No, they were all married. Older people had those jobs. From 18, you didn't have a whole lot of choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had seen these ads for women joining the Navy, and I decided that's what I wanted to do. So we checked it out, and I had to wait till I graduated. So I had taken my physical and everything before, couple months before. So I knew when I was leaving. I just had to be there on June 1st in Des Moines and be sworn in. And I got on a train that night about 11 o'clock in Des Moines and...
That was it?
Headed east to Bainbridge, Maryland.
Had you ever been out of the state before that point?
No, I hadn't been any further than my sister's, which was 38 miles over down the road. That was it. And then I wasn't by myself. This one I was all by myself, not had without an idea where Bainbridge, Maryland was.
just a couple miles past your sister's house, right?
So anyway... but it beat staying in Algona and working for minimum wage or getting married. That was the furthest thing from my mind. And we didn't have a big choice in Algona for husbands. So
didn't you have a couple of nice dates with the...
Oh, yeah, I had a nice date with a local farmer, two of them.
Mm-hmm.
One played basketball. I had to go watch him play basketball. And in the process that night, he was showing off for the benefits of me.
Hey,
and he hit the wall and broke his nose.
How did he do that in a basketball game?
Just went in for a setup and missed it and hit the wall.
That didn't impress you?
I thought, okay, we're not going to do this because I'm not going to ever come to another basketball game again.
And you're a little bit of a tomboy, so you probably would have been...
Right.
Or you'd rather be playing anyway than watching.
Yeah, right. And I'm like, and then the other one was the farmer, and his idea of a date was maybe we could go out and watch his dad slaughter the cows. Where they stuck them and then they're going to bleed.
This was your...
He went by the wayside too along with... That was it.
That was your date? Going to a slaughterhouse?
We're going out there.
Wow.
He thought that would be interesting.
That wasn't very romantic as it turned out.
It wasn't very nothing.
And so that did it for you.
That did it with him. That way we didn't see him again either. I said everybody either was a farmer or a local city thug.
Hillbilly, hick.
Well, no, just do nothing. They didn't have a job doing nothing, you know. Just live there in town. And of course, being a big tomboy, I wasn't really that interested in guys anyway.
Yeah. So it was you were on your own on the train.
All by myself.
All by yourself. Is that the one?
Until I got to Chicago.
Okay.
Okay, that's when my recruiter had told me there would be two girls there from South Dakota, and they would go to the information desk and they would page them. Well, when I got off my train, they were paging me to come to an information desk.
Okay.
So they had gotten there first. So then I was with them too, and we boarded a troop train.
Okay.
Okay. The whole train, except for one car, was guys that were coming back from the Korean War.
Wow.
They were going back to their bases, they were going home, but it was full of soldiers, sailors, you name it, except for one car that we were in, with three nuns, us two salesmen, and us three girls. And we were instructed that if we had to go to the dining car or the club car, we would have to get somebody to run interference because we had to go through car after car, and these guys weren't always dressed.
Okay.
And decent, so we...
And they hadn't seen women for years.
Anyway, so we would have to get somebody to run out there in front of us. But it didn't take long for some of them to find out that in the car behind them, there was three young girls, 18, 19 years old.
And some nuns.
So we had a whole lot of them come visit, which I'm quite sure we had to laugh because two of us were Catholics and we understood what the nuns were doing over there. And they had a really long day praying for us.
Just going through their rosaries?
They said the rosary. Anyway. And this took us to Washington, D.C. the next day. So basically, I was on one overnight, all the next day, and that night, and the next morning, we got off at D.C. Mm-hmm. and had to get another train going down to Maryland.
Okay.
In the meantime, we had enough time that we could go out and I could see the Capitol building.
Okay.
It was too far down there to walk because we didn't have a whole lot of time, so we didn't do that because we were all afraid we'd get lost and it wouldn't make it back on our train.
Was it a little bit bigger than the county seat building?
It was a little bit bigger, yeah. Oh, yeah. Things were looking really different. And then we arrived at Bainbridge, where we stayed for boot camp until August. That was June 1st. Till August, we were there in boot camp. And then I came back to Great Lakes for core school. And Doris had to come back. Well, we went on leave because we brought the same plane back to Chicago. And then she went on to Rapid City, and I went to Des Moines. And then she was going to core school back at Bainbridge, and I was going at Great Lakes.
Okay.
So then we said goodbye then, and we didn't see each other for 47 years later.
Wow.
When we found each other through a letter and the people at the memorial and
so you
a computer.
You got involved with when they set up the what is it, the women's the women in military
auxiliary volunteer emergency service.
Okay. And they set up there's a memorial now in Washington D.C. with women in the military.
Right, it's everybody.
Everybody.
It's okay. Everybody.
Okay.
All the women that are in there.
And you're registered on that and you're
in,
on display.
In the memorial. The Navy Memorial, too, I'm registered.
Okay. And that's how you found each other.
I sent a letter. They told me, one of the waves online told me to send a letter, some letters addressed to these girls that I went to boot camp with or core school. And I send it to them, and if they were registered at the memorial, then they would forward it to them, and then they could contact me if they I wanted to.
Okay.
And then it was, a month or so after that I got a email online from somebody that it said Billy the Kid.
Okay.
At AOL.com. And I had been instructed not to open anything. I didn't know anything, who it was.
Right.
So I thought, I don't know who that is. And then it kept bothering me all day because behind it said, old friend. And I'm like, okay, I'm going in there.
Yeah.
And I did, and it was Doris.
Oh.
And there was a telephone number. So then I came out and dialed the number that was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the phone talking to her again after 47 years.
Wow. So, yeah, little catching up to do.
Yeah, we had a lot of catching up to do. Anyway, and that's when we made the plans that we would go. we would go to visit them after. We were supposed to go to Arkansas fishing with them, her and her husband. And it didn't work out because I tried to kill myself on a motorcycle.
That's all for this week's show. Thanks to my grandma, Barbara Craig, for making such a delicious Thanksgiving dinner and for sharing some adventures from her interesting life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Nihe de biru and the mataya. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.